Love doesn't grow on trees like apples in Eden. It's something I have to make. I must use my imagination to make it. Just like anything else, it's all work. Now, doesn't that tickle your fancy? This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with instant inspiration. And that's a long instant inspiration, you know. Love doesn't grow on trees like apples in Eden. It's something I have to make, and I must use my imagination to make it too. Just like anything else, it's all work. Now, if you are an intelligent person, and it's doubtful for most humanity, but if you are an intelligent person, you will love your work. You will be eager to get up in the morning and go to your work of being a housewife, being a mother, being a wage earner, being anything, you know, whatever your job may be. You just love to do it. You're just eager to get up and get going on it. You don't have a sore back. You don't have a bad stomach. You don't have this or that or the other thing because you don't want to do it. You feel great because you want to do it. Now, when that's the case, then it's all work is not a bad thing. To make love is all work. Well, now, right away you think of sex. Well, that's silly. Love is not sex. Sex has three letters. Love has four. Just remember that. It's not the same word.
It is sex.
Totally different. Work is something you love, and sex is something you experience now and then. It has nothing to do with love. It may seemingly come out of a love relationship, but it has nothing to do with love. Because if you really love someone, you wouldn't have to get it off. You wouldn't have to have that sexual experience. But again, that's another story. What we're talking about is that love is all work. It means you cannot wait to love yourself. You get up in the morning and you put your arms around yourself and you say, I love you, I love you, I love you. Of course, everyone does that, don't they? And you look in the mirror and say, wow, you're the greatest looking guy or gal in the whole world. You're so neat. I can see why you love yourself so much. Is that what you're saying, Ingeborg? Every single morning. Right. You play the game very well. Okay, now, so then you sit down to eat your meal. This food is healthy for my body and filled with love. Ho, 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 ho. And then what happens? Does it make you fat or thin or short or tall? Or is it just satisfying? Say, for instance, you're eating the meal and the telephone rings and it's Uncle Joe. And he's telling you, I just got back from Alaska. And he's on the speakerphone. And he starts saying, and when I was in Alaska, I was in my cabin and this bear came up and knocked on the door. And then you all leave the breakfast table to come in and hear this because you're like, gosh, you know, a bear knocking on the door of your cabin. Now what's coming next? And so you forget your breakfast. You're not hungry. You weren't hungry anyhow. You just ate because it was the thing to do. And so you listen to Uncle Joe. And he's saying, and when the bear knocked on the door, I opened the door, and he said, I want to come in. And I said, bears don't talk, and bears don't knock on doors. He says, well, you got one here that does. And Uncle Joe said, okay, come on in. I mean, if I believe that, and you believe that, then we are doing good stuff. So the bear came in. But first he shook off his heavy coat to leave all the snow outside and trampled his feet so there'd be no snow on his feet. And he came in, and he says, well, Uncle Joe, I won't sit on your couch, and I won't sit on your chair, because if I do, they won't be there. I will flatten them out. So I'll just sit here on the floor in front of your fireplace, and you know, Joe, I'm sure that you have a little bear food around here, a little something that would sort of tickle my fancy. And Uncle Joe says, you mean me? And the bear says, oh, don't be silly. We're not talking about stuff like that. You're the creator of this story, you know. And, whoops, I almost let it out. And so Uncle Joe continues with the story and makes it into a fetching little tale. And pretty soon you go back in the kitchen and Mother says, well, while you guys were listening to Uncle Joe, I could hear him very well too. I cleaned the table and put it all away and I set the table for lunch. But it's going to be about another 10 minutes and it's time for lunch. And they didn't even know they didn't eat their breakfast. They didn't even know because they were in a business of love, a business of joy, a business of happiness. There was the work of listening to Uncle Joe, but it was a wonderful work. They listened to every word and they could repeat everything he said. And so then they sit down for lunch. This food is healthy for my body and filled with love. And they eat whatever they have. And they don't realize that their diet is becoming smaller and smaller every day. That mom is working on reading a book, and in the book it says, the starvation diet puts 10 more years on your life, and you have a healthier body, and when you're not so obese, you live longer, live healthier, and da-da-da-da. And so mom is just slowly cutting down the portions. And the story goes on, and the story goes on. And mom's work is no work. It's a labor of love for the family she loves to present them with food and other things that will give them a longer, happier life. And then as each one goes off to their duties during the day, each one goes and thinks about Uncle Joe and the big bear, and they got to tell it to their friends, you know. And their friends say, sure, your Uncle Joe is quite a guy. But they tell it. But they're having fun. And they go into their job, and they're doing their work, whatever it may be, the tremendous variety. But it's not work, as work is considered, something nauseous. It is a joy. It is love. And this is what we make it. Now, when we make our work love, or when we make our love work, then we have every beautiful experience we could ever want in our life. And it is not tedious. But it is joyful. I used to put together the gist in the evening after I did everything else, and I was all alone doing these things. And so I'd run the gist to the printer and had it quick printed, dirty, quick and dirty, you know. And so the printer had done everything, and it cost me something like $80 to have the whole thing printed up, and maybe about 40 pages or 50 pages. And then cut and nice, and I'd bring it up to the ranch, and I'd sit on the kitchen floor, and I'd have a bowl of popcorn, of course, you know, and I'd have my puppies all around me, and then I'd set them all out in sections and go sip, 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 grouping them together, and then I'd fold them, and then I'd staple them, sip, 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 and in no time, I had almost 5,000 done, in no time at all. It was one evening. And I would look at the clock sometimes, and I'd say, I wonder what time it is. 3 o'clock in the morning. Sometimes 4 and 5. But hey, no problem. I got it done. And I liked it. It wasn't work. It was love. Those were my words. Those were my loving thoughts that I'm sending out to all these people all over the country. And they're reading this, and they're loving this, and they're enjoying this. And hey, they want it. And I want it. And I staple it up nicely. Then I put it in special trimmer, you know, where you pull down this cutter thing to cut the edges, you know. And then the next day, I get up at maybe 8 o'clock, you know. And so then I would start the mailing of it. I'd already run off the mailing labels. And so then I'd paste the labels on. Almost 5,000. And when I was done, I would be sorting them while I'm pasting it out. You know, this is this zone, this is this zone, this is, you know, because that's the way my labels were pretty well laid out, too. And so then I had everything all set. And then I'd bundle them up. And then I would take them to the post office. And the post office would say, well, that's $8.90 for your mailing list this month for almost 5,000. But that's in the days of less prices, you know. And it was great. It was really great. So I sent them out. And so the next day, I didn't say, I am tired. I have worked my butt off, you know. I didn't say it. I took everything down and mailed it. And then I went down to the beach. I took the dogs in the car and went down to the beach. And we went romping up and down the beach, just having a good old time. And after that, then I stopped and had a Chinese meal. And then we came home, you know. The dogs were all sitting in the car, 5 or 6 of them. And we just, yeah. We just had a wonderful time. It was just in my little car, the little Honda 600, remember that one? And so I came home, then I went on. In one day, I would typeset the entire gist, get the entire gist in, and then the next day I'd paste it together, you know, because it wasn't anything on the computer or anything. And then I would always have my eyes open for little clip arts in it that I wanted to have, mm-hmm. and cut this off and cut that off and make it. And it was pleasant looking gist. My gists were good. Mm-hmm. And they were wonderful. But I loved it. I loved it. When I was in Minneapolis, I would put out the gist once a month. And I didn't have any help either. But I had my IBM ESC, my IBM typewriter, you know, with that ball that has. Mm-hmm. And I would type it once, and then I'd type it again. First time I type it, and I know there's three spaces. So I'd stick an extra space between the words so that it would balance out my columns. And I remember the Andromeda copies? And then I did them on buff paper. Oh, they were gorgeous, you know, with a buff piece of cardboard. And they were wonderful. And I put them out, and we had maybe about, 3,000 circulation up there. And it was great. And that was where Mary Willett remembers me and so forth from. But it was great. And I loved doing it. I was down at the Imperial Valley Church of Religious Science, where I was minister for several years. And I would get my stuff all ready, because I love my gist. And I'd get the things all ready, and then if anybody came to visit me, I'd do it. And here I am, naked as a jaybird, walking around my apartment, you know, just collating, making this up, fixing this all up. And one time we had about three or four kids that stayed over, you know, and they liked to do it too. And I don't remember whether they had the clothes off or on, but anyhow, we collated them all and stapled them all. And they said to their parents, I want to go back again, you know, because they had a good time. And it was wonderful. Then after we were all done, like maybe 2 o'clock in the morning, we'd go out in the pool and go swimming. And we had just nobody else around, nobody to bother us. We had a wonderful time. And this is what happens when your work is your love and your love is your work. You can accomplish anything, and you can do anything, you can be anything, and you know you are. Love doesn't grow on trees like apples in Eden. It's something I have to make, and I must make my imagination, I must use my imagination to make it. Just like anything else, it's all work. And if work is love and joy and peace and harmony, then whatever we do is love and joy and peace and harmony. Yeah, we have to ask ourselves, is everything we do a joy? Is everything we do love? Is everything we do lots of fun? If it is, we got the whole thing made. And it's a wonderful thing it is. I love you, I love you, I love you, and have a wonderful day.